thrilled to have my guest on the program today. Hopefully it's going to be a regular gig, second time she's been on in about a month. Chelsea Zimmerman, if you've been around the blogosphere, you may have seen her blog, Reflections of a Paralytic. She also was the editor-in-chief for Catholic Lane and, I think, a managing editor with Ignitum Today. Chelsea, welcome to the program.
Hello. It's good to be back.
Good to have you here, that's for sure, and a very interesting topic that we're going to discuss today, this idea of transhumanism. At least three people today, Chelsea, said, well, what are you going to talk about on the program today? And I said transhumanism, and they looked at me like they didn't know, you know, if I had horns growing out of my head. They had no idea what I was talking about. So tell us, what is transhumanism?
Well, it's a pretty broad movement, so it's very hard to define, but I'd say essentially the goal of transhumanism is to use technology to basically take evolution into our own hands and enhance otherwise healthy individuals beyond our natural human capabilities. In other words, beyond anything nature could accomplish for us. And this is, you know, physically, intellectually, psychologically, even morally speaking. Some ethicists have been weighing in on, you know, the ethics of choosing the most moral. Once you find the happy genes or these different moral genes, and you know, there are ethicists weighing in on, you know, choosing the most moral babies to be born, and things like that. So it's really just taking us beyond our natural human capabilities.
You know, at a certain level, it sounds sort of harmless is not the right word, but it sounds like, well,
right.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we have all kind of different technologies, medical technologies, and all those sorts of things that have helped us overcome, you know, certain diseases, vaccines that have helped us defeat these things. So what's the big deal? I mean, if we can do it, let's do it.
Exactly. Well, and I think that, you know, that's the ultimate moral question that this kind of brings up, is what is the role of technology in helping mankind? And you just kind of hit the nail on the head. But like, when we're trying to treat disease and sickness and disabilities, you know, things like prosthetic limbs or even bionic eyes for the blind and even some genetic enhancements are good things. These are good things that help sick individuals. When we're talking about applying these technologies to people who are otherwise perfectly healthy, it becomes questionable then. Then we're getting into the realm of, you know, are we remaking our bodies, you know, in our own image? And that's one of the questions that was brought up in by the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith in their document Dignitas Personae. They actually warned that, you know, an attempt to create a new type of human being, one can recognize an ideological element in which man tries to take the place of his creator. And I think that's what we start to get into when we're talking about transhumanism, is creating a new type of human being and going beyond, you know, once we're going beyond our natural capabilities, when we're talking about enhancing healthy people, otherwise healthy people.
You know, you're not old enough to remember this, Chelsea, because it happened before you were born, but back when I was a kid, maybe the first transhumanistic TV show, the $6 Million Man. You know, you had this astronaut who crashed his plane, and they, you know, they built him back bionic. You know, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. And who would have thought that would actually become prophetic? Because you have, I mean, all kind of different things that people talk about doing with transhumanism, you know.
Right.
Having their own limb amputated, for example, so they can have a bionically improved limb in its place. I mean, this isn't just science fiction. This kind of stuff is happening. What are some other maybe examples of this kind of, you know, of this movement?
Well, in terms of what it entails, what you could do, the things we could do are obviously, like you were talking about, replacing healthy body parts with bionic ones, or uploading artificial intelligence to our brains, or, you know, having an artificial intelligence fanny pack or something that you carry around with you, or one of the big things is genetic engineering and genetic enhancement of our offspring, in figuring out ways of enhancing our normal genes to make us, you know, more superhuman, better humans. That's a big thing that's been discussed lately, especially. And just, you know, going back to that, creating a new type of man, just going back to the 1950s, which is where the word transhumanism kind of first came from.
There's a new plan.
Will at last be consciously fulfilling its real destiny. So that's where the movement has come from, and those are kind of the roots of it, and what their vision is, creating this new kind of man. And now we're seeing the technology that we're able to use,
yes,
through genetics and
it's
other
almost,
sorts of technology.
It feels almost like a Tower of Babel in the body, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of one of those things that, you know, in terms of opposition to this, or a voice that raises moral concerns, because so many times our technology gets ahead of our moral thinking through. But it would seem like if you're strictly a materialist, if you believe that the human person is basically nothing but a combination of chemicals and muscles, and, you know, that you have no supernatural outlook, it would seem to me you would have no problem with transhumanism. Mm-hmm. That it'll be only those who believe that there is a creator and that there's a transcendent meaning to human life who will object to this.
That's what it seems like to me, and that we seem to be some of the only ones voicing in opposition to this. And of course, you know, it's hard for people to actually, you have to take this seriously to begin with, of course.
Sure.
It's almost hard to take it seriously as a, you know, as something that's plausible, but you know, these transhumanists, their ideas are being published in, you know, reputable science and medical magazines, and like I said, the technology is there that's making their ideas more and more plausible. So we do have to start taking it seriously first. I mean, I think that's the biggest challenge to me, I think, is to get people to start taking this as a serious issue.
Mm. And to be able to articulate the reason for our concerns. Because one of the questions it raises for me is, you know, at what point does a person cease to be human? You know what I mean? I mean, does there become a point where, I think as I saw one author phrased it, we go from being Homo sapiens to Homo artificialis, you know? I mean,
well, when I saw that question from you, I wasn't even sure how to answer that myself. I did have to consult somebody a little bit more well versed in this. So it's my partner in crime for our BioTalk series, Rebecca Taylor. She does a lot more research into this, so I asked her. I said, well, you know, how do you respond? Can we ever really be transhuman? And what she told me was, biologically speaking, if we genetically modify ourselves so much that we can no longer mate with natural humans, then yes, we will have created a new species that would be beyond human. So she said, theoretically, we could augment Homo sapiens out of existence.
My mind blown, for sure. Chelsea, we're going to have to go to break. When we come back, I want us to continue this, but get into, I know, a topic of interest to you as a really more maybe subtle way that transhumanism comes in through performance-enhancing drugs. So hold tight. We'll be back in just a minute. This is your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM. Welcome back into the Mike Allen Show on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM. Have as my guest today, Chelsea Zimmerman. If you want to check out her blog, reflectionsofaparalytic.com, reflectionsofaparalytic.com. She's also the I think the chief editor for Catholic Lane and managing editor for Ignitum Today. And got her here on the program talking about transhumanism. And we're going to talk this segment about one particular way that transhumanism, this attempt of humans to sort of transcend their biological limitations, present through performance-enhancing drugs. Chelsea, thanks for holding on.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I can say with some confidence as a Kentucky football fan, there's no evidence that against the Florida Gators, the Kentucky football team has been using performance-enhancing drugs. Maybe we need some transhuman football players to compete with the Gators.
Maybe. Maybe then you might stand a chance.
There you go. But I promised I wouldn't bring up the Miami game. Oh, I just did, didn't I? That's okay.
Yeah, you did.
Well,
you did.
Believe me.
We've got our problems, too. But
believe me, worse Florida teams have beaten better Kentucky teams than this one, so you'll be okay. This is, you know, we're in the midst of sort of a baseball pennant race, and of course, baseball you always, I think, tend to think of with performance enhancing drugs, the NFL, and of course, Lance Armstrong's bombshell. Talk about how performance enhancing drugs are a particular type of transhumanism.
Well, it's just in that word, enhancing performance enhancing drugs. I mean, I never really put the two together. Until I think the article you mentioned at the top of the hour from a transhumanist who has said that after the whole Lance Armstrong thing said that, you know, Lance Armstrong should be celebrated as a pioneer in human enhancement, and he kind of related the performance enhancing drugs as a way of enhancing human ability. And so I never put the two together until I read that article, and it makes sense, because that's what these athletes are trying to do. They're enhancing themselves beyond their natural capabilities. You know, we're not talking about just, you know, extra gym time or something like that. You know, they're taking substances that are changing the chemicals in their body, and is it making them be better athletes? I suppose. That's how it relates to the transhumanist movement. That's what transhumanism. That's why transhumanists are pushing for a sort of a deregulation of the performance enhancing drugs, kind of normalizing this sort of human enhancement, and so that we can use certain things. In that same article, he was advocating using performance enhancing drugs for other sort of other kind of jobs and things that where you need to perform better, such as, you know, a doctor or a lawyer or somebody who you know, could do better with some sort of chemical enhancements.
It's a when you think about athletes, for example, I mean, athletes are always looking for an edge, a competitive edge, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, and I can see how a perspective like in that Wired article about Lance Armstrong seeking to deregulate could get some traction, maybe even among officials who are over sports leagues, because they could think, you know, trying to snuff this stuff out is like whack-a-mole, because there's always new technologies, new drugs, mm-hmm. new masking agents, all that kind of stuff. Why not just, you know, open up the playing field? And if we can get these performance-enhancing drugs to be so that they're not a health risk for athletes, you know, why not let them use them? I guess that'd be the devil's advocate, right? Why not? What would you think would be the bioethical response to that?
Well, I think my main concern is really the coercive aspect of enhancement, which is what we're seeing in sport right now. It's this pressure to enhance. So as performance-enhancing drug use has spread over the years, athletes are finding it harder and harder to get by on their training regimen alone. So they put their bodies at risk, not necessarily to be out of some selfish desire to be a super athlete, but because they feel compelled to do so just to compete. I mean, Lance Armstrong even said that. He wasn't the only cyclist using performance-enhancing drugs. And, you know, he basically said that he started doing it because to compete with the other athletes who were doing it. So you have this sort of, you know, enhance and compete or stay natural and sit on the sidelines sort of mentality in there. And that's not going to get better once it's deregulated, once the drugs are safer. And even the guy who wrote the article on Lance Armstrong, he admitted, you know, that if his vision of a world in which enhancing drug use is tolerated comes to fruition, he said, you know, tomorrow's athlete will need today's doping just to remain competitive in the extremely stressful performances we enjoy watching.
Yeah,
so there's always going to be this coercive element to enhance and to keep enhancing. And that, to me, is the main concern with performance-enhancing drug use, that the safety issue, if the safety issue goes away, it's debatable whether that's even possible.
Sure. Well, you mentioned something about
be around.
You mentioned about us enjoying it. I almost wonder if there's a degree to which, you know, as much as we as spectators and as fans, you know, we talk about how we want clean athletes and we want a clean game.
Right.
And yet I wonder to what degree we're complicit, at least, you know, in some level because of our expectations of performance.
Well, who didn't love, you know, Lance Armstrong was at the top of the cycling world for years. You know, I mean, that was exciting. And now
it's not about the bike, all that stuff, you know?
Right. And so it was exciting for us. People got into cycling who wouldn't normally pay attention to cycling at all. And so, yeah, there is that, you know, when we enjoy, we start enjoying this, getting into this sort of performances that are, you know, largely due to performance-enhancing drugs, there's always going to be that element to kind of keep that up or to outdo it.
One of the things that was alarming to me, because, you know, you think about, you just kind of have to look, where does this thing go logically? And, you know, you shared, you know, where there are even these transhumanists who are wanting to take neuroses that people may have that may lead them to do, to mutilate their own bodies, you know, in the name of the improvement. And these transhumanists want to normalize those or have them as a distinct disorder, so to speak, so that, you know, these kind of modifications can be done and be approved.
They are. We were talking about before body identity and body integrity identity disorder, where these are people who want to be disabled. Most of them are amputee wannabes. There's another woman who is trying to raise money to fly to some other country to have her spinal cord cut so that she could become paralyzed.
Now, I've got to ask you. I got to ask you on that, Chelsea. Okay, I mean, you are paralyzed. Okay, so when you hear something like that, or even this whole issue, it's got to have it's got to be a personal, very personal thing for you, I would think.
Right. Well, I mean, it's one of the and things I've talked about with this issue before, where it's almost an insult to people who really need this technology to be, quote, more normal, able-bodied people, to use that on people who are already able-bodied, to essentially either make them, either disable them and give them, you know, bionic limbs, or just enhance them in other ways, using this technology to just enhance them beyond what a normal functioning human being is. It's kind of insulting to those of us who aren't fully able-bodied, who do need this technology just to live normal lives for And they compare their movement to these sort of like the Paralympic Games, where you have double amputees, amputees running on blades on prosthetic limbs, and they say, see, that's what we're talking about. Well, no, that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about somebody who actually needs those prosthetic limbs to function normally, not because they want to function better, be an enhanced human being.
Well, one of the things that I appreciate about your own particular witness, Chelsea, is I think you have a certain authenticity in saying that, just because there are certain things we can do doesn't mean we should do them, because, you're a person who could directly benefit from some things, and yet you're also the one who's saying, let's stop, let's think about this, because we're going to have those kind of prophetic voices in this culture that's going to continue to push the envelope.
Well, I'm trying to be as much of a voice as I can.
Absolutely, and it's a privilege to have you on the program, and I hope we can make this a monthly thing, because I think there's a lot to talk about, and as always, it seems like we run out of time before we can get to everything we want to.
All right. Well, I'm up for it, so.
Well, that's fantastic, Chelsea, and we'll see if we can keep Jason out of trouble, too, so. Not always easy. Chelsea Zimmerman, check out her blog, reflectionsofaparalytic.com, and these issues, transhumanism, you need to get educated on them, because could be coming soon to a town near you. Thanks, Chelsea.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, blessings. We'll be back in just a minute. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Good Friday afternoon from your listener-supported Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM. We'll continue to see sunshine with a few clouds for the rest of today, with a high near 69. For tonight,